And I want to know, what does the devil make us do? Have you ever actually sat back and thought about it? What does he make each and every one of us do today? Well, let's go back to the beginning. And so, you know, Chris and I were talking about this earlier, you know, Genesis chapter 3. But, you know, when we look at Genesis chapter 2, chapter 1, you know, we got the whole creation, and then we go straight into chapter 3. We don't have any definitive answer to this, and I don't like to talk through the scripture through what ifs. I imagine that the Adam and Eve have spent some time in this garden, that it's not the very next day that they were created and that woman was formed, that the serpent comes and shows himself. I imagine there's been a little bit of time in which Adam and Eve have lived in this garden with everything that they could have ever wanted, with their heavenly Father who created them. And then the day comes. And let's go to the scripture and let's look to see, what does the devil make Eve do in this scenario? Genesis chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed has God said, You shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." I want to pause right there for just a moment. Verse 1 tells us that this is a being that God created. God created this beast, this serpent, that's walking around this field. And here's the thing with Eve. She just spoke what God had told her. She just said, God said that if I eat of this tree in the middle of the garden, I will die. But this serpent has another idea. Look at what he says, verse 4. "The serpent said to the woman, You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." Let's continue a little bit further. "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called the man and said to him, Where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Had you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is it you have done? And the woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So we see here that the serpent didn't make Eve do anything, except he gave her a choice. Eve chose to then listen to the serpent and make a connection that, hey, what if this happens? What if I eat of this tree? What if my eyes are open? What if I am like God? That's what she heard. Even though she just repeated exactly what God had told her not to do. But Satan didn't force her. Satan didn't make her. But he gave her an option. A new option. Something that was unfamiliar to her. But ultimately, what it did, though, is it did kill her. It spiritually put her to death. But then it also made her afraid of God. She was terrified. You know, that's the reason why her and Adam hid, because they knew they were in the wrong. They went with the choice that was wrong. Satan will give us choices today. And if we continue to take choices that are wrong, then we're going to be in the same boat. And here's the thing. It's, you know, Satan, does he move about in the way you read about in the scriptures today? I don't think you see Satan physically moving around like you did today. But if you look at even in the first century, I mean, here in the, you know, in year one, you see that Adam and Eve, in Adam's situation, Satan didn't directly deceive him. Eve deceived him. Eve convinced Adam that this is something good to eat. So that tells you that Satan's influence on those around you that are not part of God's word is so indestructible. It's so destructible that it could take you down. And that's exactly what happened in the eyes of Adam. But Adam was in the same boat as her. What did he do? He still chose. Whether it was Satan telling him, whether it was Eve telling him, he still chose the wrong choice. We all will have choices coming from somewhere in this life that we know is wrong. We have to make sure that we don't select those choices. And Adam, in this case, chose otherwise. He instead chose to listen to Eve, eat of this fruit, and he became just like her in the wrong, just like you and I. And there is no doubt I would be afraid of God too, because when you continue to make those choices, you will spiritually die, just like they did here. You know, you think about what they had. I mean, they had this garden. I mean, they had God. They had food. I mean, it's unbelievable the life that they had in this first century. I mean, this year one. And yet, they still chose to forget it. They still, you know, what in their mind made them decide that a created being's words were more important than the ones who created them? Go with me to James 10, and I want to, or James 1, I'm sorry. I want us to understand that ultimately choices we make, it comes down to you and I. And so, you know, we see that Satan is going to offer up these choices. That's what he's going to do. But it's you and I who make commitments. No one else forces us to do anything. It's us who commit. Look at James 1, starting in verse 12. Blessed is a man who preserves, who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of the truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Go back to verse 13 again. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and is enticed by his own lust. It's you who ultimately decide your fate. No one else decides it for you. Your decisions are up to you. Decisions you see in front of you can come from anywhere, but it's up to you to follow through with them. And the expectation is that you follow decisions that are good. Because here in the last chat, in the last verse, in verse 18 here that we just read, he says that we're supposed to be unique. We're supposed to be these first fruits among his creatures. That makes us different. It makes us really the highlight of this world. That's what we are. We are the ones that shine. We're the ones that stand out, and we're the ones that ultimately are making choices that show that that's who we are. So when we think about, does the devil make us do, doesn't make us do anything. It's you who make the choice. And here in a few minutes, we're going to put up some scenarios here that's going to talk about what happens when your choices continue to dwindle incorrectly. What happens? What happens to your life? What happens to your mind? What happens to your thoughts? What happens to your thinking? There's a lot of things that takes place when those things happen. But see, God also has a role in our choices. You know, to think that, you know, it says God doesn't tempt. But God has a role in one thing. He's going to lead you to be tempted. And you're like, well, what is this guy talking about? God's going to lead me to be tempted? Well, I have a scenario for you. I have a buddy of mine who years ago told me that he was a basketball player. He said, man, I'm the best shooter you've ever seen. Never seen this guy play basketball in my life. So one day we go out. The kid couldn't hit the backside of a barn. This guy was not a basketball player. I could tell he's never picked it up in his life. So how does God know you're a follower of him if he doesn't put you in situations that show that you are? God's going to put us in situations that test us, that makes us go through some difficult decisions, but those decisions are followed through with decisions he'd want us to make. And if you don't, if you look deeper into this, go look at Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. We're going to look at verse 1 here, and we're going to read 1 through 11. But look at verses 16 and 17 in Matthew 3. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and alighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we know that Jesus' baptism, you know, it was really to show all righteousness. Just like you and I have to show all righteousness. Our baptism is a little different in the fact that we got to have it because we need to be purified. But once we're baptized, we are now a different being. We're Christians. But look at what in the first thing that happens to Jesus in the next verse to Jesus Christ. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Why would God lead Jesus to be tempted? You know, we just went through a couple, several months worth of lessons, sermons about why Jesus is our greatest example. He's led up by God to be tempted to show us how to succeed, how to make the right choice, because he knew there was no doubt that Jesus is going to pass this test. There is no doubt that if I put Jesus in the way of the devil and I let him stand there, that I know for a fact he's going to pass. Well, that's what he's doing. There's times that you and I are going to have to go through those same exact scenarios. And the question that's going to be asked, are you ending up the same way Jesus ends up? Let's go through and read these for just a moment. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took from him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister him. So we see Jesus answering every situation with the word of God. But what does Satan do at the end of this? He leaves. He runs away because he knows he cannot win. And when we look at Jesus, Jesus' first come in contact here at his weakest point. You know, he's in need of something. He is in need of food. He's weak. He's hungry. He's been out here in this wilderness. And, you know, the devil's given him an opportunity now to be fed. He's given him a choice to be fed. But Jesus recognizes very quickly that the food that the devil would offer him would mean nothing if he chose to go with him and against God. Because at the end of the day, God's words is the most important thing in our lives. And Jesus answers every call with the words of God. That's exactly the way we should be answering every call in our lives. And when we're led to be tempted, each and every one of us should be ready and on guard and prepared to answer every question in every situation with the word of God coming to the front of our minds. That's exactly what Jesus did, and he's the perfect example. And the devil will leave you. If you turn over with me to 1 Peter 5, I'm going to read two verses real quick, and then we'll talk about both of them. 1 Peter 5, and just look at verse 8 for a moment. You know, here we see that, you know, this is the first century, and there's a lot that the brethren are going through. And the number one thing that they're going through is persecution. You know, they're constantly being persecuted. They're constantly being tested and challenged. And really, they're being challenged to say God's not real. God is not your leader. That the earth, this earthly kingdom, in terms of this Roman Empire and those who may be persecuting them, is where they should be putting their thoughts and their minds. And, you know, so for them, they're persevering through some very difficult times. And Peter here tells them in verse, starting in verse 6 actually, it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." But look at this, "But be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So we see in verse 8, though, it says to be of sober mind. So that goes back to those choices. It's always knowing the choices, always seeing the choices. But notice, though, that the devil, the adversaries, those who are against us for making the right choice, goes after the weakest folks. You think about a lion. Lion doesn't go after the strongest person in a pack. It goes after the weakest because it knows it can just tear it down and it'll take it and it'll destroy it. Well, it's the same thing with the devil and those that are against us being followers of God. As soon as you start making choices that are in contrary to what God wants you to do, the world's going to just take you out. And you're going to be gone to the point to where you may never return. And it happens to so many people, and I'm sure that we've seen people around us. And here, that is coming through because of this. They're going through physical suffering. Their brethren in the world are dying. And if they're dying because they're not willing to give up their faith. They want to stay strong. And Peter's telling them, just stay strong. Just go ahead and die for the cause. There's a better thing that's going to happen to you when you do that. That's for us too. Die for the cause. There's nothing wrong with living a life giving up things here because of the cause we have afterwards. And then in James 4, 7, and we already talked about this a little bit. If you look at 4 verse 7, it says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That the devil is going to leave you. He's going to realize you're too strong. I cannot win. There's no way I can win against this person. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 10, and you know, if you want to go back and read the first 13 verses, it says that in every way, you know, Jesus was tempted. We're going to be tempted, but also God's not going to allow us to be more tempted more than what we can handle. Like, we're all going to be able to pass the test. We just have to be willing to do it. And when we look at examples of the Bible, of those who have either passed or failed, we should be using these examples of way to make our choices and see choices. We think about Job, Jesus. You know, David even, he failed the test at times. Joseph, Judas, Israel. Israel is the perfect example of someone, of a group of people who failed the test. They completely failed. So each and every one of us, as we're going through trials and as we're going through temptations, the key is to make the right choice. But, and as we're going to conclude here, you know, we are ultimately the deciding factor. There's no doubt. We can't go around making excuses. I think that's sometimes the problem. We make so many excuses to why we have things in our lives where I'm just human, or the devil made me do it, or anything that comes to your mind that just, it's an excuse. Don't make excuses. Make commitments, and the commitment is to be with God. And here's the ultimately final conclusion of this, is I think in this life we all have two choices every day in our lives. We have A and we have B. A is God, B is anything else. And let's just use for Satan in context here. But see, this is what happens. When we first become Christians, we see both of these every day. Every single day we see both of these. All right? You'll see them both. But see, over time, the more you start seeing God, B kind of fades out. You don't see B anymore. B kind of fades. The more and more we accept on God, all we see is A. To the point to where we don't even have to see choices. We are already making the right choices. Every situation we're in, all we see is A. But see, the worst part is, this isn't the way the majority of people live. What ends up happening, the majority of people that in this world, B, B, B. And us as Christians, what ends up happening at times, we used to see A, but now we've let B come in. Can't see A at all. And we will go the rest of our lives, we don't even see choices anymore because we've forgotten what God's told us to do. And the only thing we ever do in this life is what God doesn't want us to do. And if you don't believe it, we're in Ezekiel right now reading about the Israelites. You ask them what God wanted them to do. They don't even know. And that's the problem, is that the world influences us. And we're going to use Satan in context here because we're talking about the Satan himself and his influence. What ends up happening, he influences so much to where the only answer we see and the only option is B. And that's a problem. Because what Satan ultimately makes us do provides a spiritual death. And then he provides us a home in which we're lost. And every one of us who choose to live a life in which B is the only option, it's not going to be a good day. And the thing is, at the end of the day, this is not something we can joke about or take lightly. This is our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives that remain forever in this life. There is nothing worth losing your soul over. Nothing. Not one thing in this life is worth it. And if you don't believe it, face God one day with something that you thought was more important. And there's no way to change it. So if there's anything that we can do to help change your mind and to change your thinking and to get you back to where you're seeing option A and no longer seeing option B, then let's do that. Because you're going to be so glad knowing that every day you're waking up and the only option you're seeing is A, because you're passing the test. You're passing the trials. There is no trial to you. You enjoy succeeding. And every one of us should enjoy being successful in the kingdom of God. If there's anything that we can do to help you change your